Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. I'm going to read this one verse, and then we'll give the introduction and then look at the verses surrounding it. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Heavenly Father, please meet with us, Lord, in a sweet way, in a special way. And Lord, you know what we need and when we need it. And thank you, dear God, for giving this to me at a time I needed it. And then, Lord, for impressing my heart throughout this week in the last several days as I've prayed over Wednesday's, Lord, my people may need this. And so, Lord, as I share what you've shared with me, I pray that we'll all leave, dear God, with hope. With hope, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm reading through the Bible. Many of you are in the process of doing the same things. And there was a time last week, to be honest with you, that I wanted to depart from where I was reading and go find somewhere else to read because I was finishing up Jeremiah, which, if you'll read it, is not an exceptionally encouraging book. And then going into something very uplifting, Lamentations, where he apparently spends an entire book crying about the judgment that just came upon Israel. And it's not that it's not the Word of God, and it's not that God doesn't know what he's doing, but have you ever been reading into a part of the Bible and you just really want to, you know, you're disciplining yourself, so you're following it, but what you're reading is like, this isn't what I need today. And that's honestly, I'm reading it out of duty, but I'm not enjoying it. It's all right, you can shake your head there sometime. Don't look at me like you're shocked that I'm human too, all right? I mean, I'm just, okay, here we go. You're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. Boom, you died. All right, and now let's cry about it, cry about it, cry about it. You know, it's just like, this is not what I felt like I needed today. And so I'm kind of pushing through it somewhat out of duty. And then I, all of a sudden, verse 21 comes and wow. I just stopped and I just honestly was just arrested by that verse and I didn't go any farther. And honestly, again, I don't think I really paid much attention to what came before it. It's just kind of like when that verse came on, it jolted me and I thought, and I was just, man, I just kept looking at that verse. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. So I'm like, okay, Jeremiah has been a witness to some very, very difficult things. It's hard to watch your nation destroyed. It's hard to watch your nation go into a captivity. And by the way, we have a front row seat to watching that happen to America right now. And it's not just discouraging, to be honest with you folks, what's happening on a national scene. We could spend the rest of the evening on that. But also, you begin to pray for your church. You begin to pray over some of the folks in and you have some information, some idea about different challenges that are being faced by people in your church. And sometimes, honestly, prayer time's a wonderful time, but sometimes I just stop in the middle of it and say, Lord, these are good people. And it just seems like so many are facing so much. And I don't know. And then you do that. You've got your nation. You've got your church and your loved ones and people that you care about. And then you fight with all of your own stuff, you know, and I honestly, I'm a person that I just, you know, I want to be on top. I want to put a positive spin on it. I tend to see, honestly, the glass. I can see a glass half full when it's empty. I mean, that's the person I want to be. But that doesn't mean that there aren't times still when you just, you know what, everything in life that's going on in your own personal life doesn't just kind of, you know, push you down and get to you a little bit. And so maybe that'll give you a little bit of mercy towards your preacher when I'm preaching or reading through, finishing Jeremiah, going to Lamentations, saying, Lord, you know, when I get done here, honestly, Lord, when I get done here, I'm going to go find something else because I'm not sure you know what I need today. And then all of a sudden, I seen this verse and I just stopped. I didn't read on. I just stopped. This I recall to my mind. Jeremiah says, no, wait a minute, when I recall something in my mind, when I think about certain things, it gives me hope. That's what he's saying here. When I think about certain things, all of a sudden it gives me hope. Now, if there's ever been a man standing in a hopeless situation, it seems to be Jeremiah, but he says, wait a minute, when I recall to my mind, this I recall to my mind, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So there's something then that he can think about in the midst of hopelessness that still allows him to have some hope. And all of a sudden, now God's got my attention. And again, I thought, well, you know what? If we're going to look at this verse and understand this verse, we got to check out the context of the verse. So that means that if you have a verse like this, and you want to say, what is the this that he recalls to his mind, therefore it gives him hope, you look at the verses that come before it, and then you look at the verses that come after it. So I backed up, realizing that I hadn't been paying that much attention. So let me go back and see if what had given him hope was in the verses before that. And so I went back to verse 1 and read, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. And I stopped and recalled this to my mind, and just nothing, man. If that's it, I'm in trouble because, okay, it's coming. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. And I'm like, okay. Let's go on. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, I see verse 21, but I do not have a clue what has arrested Jeremiah's attention yet that's given him hope. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. And he says in verse 8, and I don't know, folks, if you've never been there, you haven't been saved very long, but have you ever prayed and I mean cried out, and it seemed like, you know what, no matter what you say or how loud you get, you can't seem to get God's attention. And Jeremiah was there, and I said, well, that can't be the thought. How about this one? Watch this. He was unto me. Talk about God. As a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. Okay, no. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. How about this one? He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for his arrow. All right, I'm going somewhere else, Lord. I don't know what Jeremiah is talking about. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people in their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And I got to thinking, how discouraging is that? And then I got to thinking about this. No, I think there's an encouragement here, because there's not too many of us, as much as we'd like to sometimes sit around and feel sorry for ourselves, that probably we're as bad off as what Jeremiah is facing right here. So if whatever is the this in verse 21 that still allows him to find some measure of hope, then no matter how bad my circumstance is, if he found hope, I can find hope. Checking out context, making sure we're interpreting the Bible accurately, whatever the this is, would we all agree that it's not in the first 20 verses, okay? We're on the same page there. All right, then let's check the ones that follow. This I recall to my mind. What is it, preacher? Therefore have I hope. And by the way, the name of the message is Thoughts That Always Bring Hope. Thoughts that always bring hope. And this is where I got my pen out and I said, Lord, I need to hear this today. What is it? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I, here's the word again, hope in him. And I looked at that and I thought, I'm going to write this down. There's so much there. And I started writing down just the thoughts This is what Jeremiah recalled to his mind. It wasn't what was happening in verses 1 through 20. It was after, verse 21. These are the thoughts that brought hope. Here's the first one. Watch this. Jot this one down if you want to. It'll help you later on. It could be worse. It could be worse. Didn't he say in verse 22, it is of the Lord's, what's the next word? Mercies that we are not consumed. It could be worse. It could be worse. And I got to thinking, you know what? And I've said this from time to time, but the Lord just kind of reminded me of my own preaching. He said, don't you tell your people that the worst day on earth is better than the best day in hell? I mean, watch this. Does it say that? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And sometimes we look at our present day situation, and folks, I'm not saying that we don't face some difficult things, but if it were not for the mercy of God, and by the way, what is mercy? Well, there's grace and there's mercy. Grace is when we get things, we get blessings that we don't deserve. Mercy is when we don't get the punishment that we do deserve. And by the way, you ought to be glad for grace, but you ought to be awfully glad for mercy. Because the honest truth is, I'm an old sinner, and so are you. And the wages of sin is death. And that death, part of that death is the second death, which is the lake of fire. And you know what? If I got what I deserved, that's where I ought to be. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And I got to thinking, you know what? It could be worse. God could have decided not to extend mercy at all. God could have decided not to extend grace at all. God could have looked down at what Adam and Eve did and turned his back on the human race and said, good night. I made you in my image. I gave you everything that you could ever want. And I gave you one rule, and you can't respect me enough to keep it. And by the way, let's not throw rocks at Adam and Eve. All of us can stand guilty before God as well and say, you know what? We had our choices and chances. We haven't always chosen right either. We haven't always shown respect either to who God is. And yet, His mercy sent His Son to an old rugged cross to take care of all of those sins and give us a chance to walk this earth with the presence and the help of Almighty God, with God as our Father, with Jesus as our Savior, and dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You know what that is? That's grace and mercy. So the first thought was this. You know what? I want to say to the Lord, you know, America's a mess. And he says back, it could be worse. And by the way, it could be worse. You know what? Sometimes we look at so many areas in which America is, and come on, folks. We look at so many areas in which America is failing and is bad that we let it overshadow the fact that we still live in the greatest nation of the world. And we enjoy tonight more freedom than 90% of the population of the planet. And you know what? It could be worse. Let's pray about the problems, but let's not fail to say, God, thank you for being merciful to America, merciful to America, because you've been merciful to us. And then I pray through our church prayer list, and then you know what God says? It could be worse. It's not that people aren't facing things, and I mean some very difficult things. But the honest truth is, it's almost as if the Lord said to me, you know what? You have no idea how many times in the last week or two I've protected these people and how many things I've shown mercy to them in. And if you sat in my seat for 1 minute, you wouldn't focus on the handful of problems. You'd jump up and down and shout and thank God, thank me for the way that I've protected and what I have done. And the honest truth is, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, and when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. I began to look at what I had taken as my group of problems and issues and burdens, and I began to honestly put them up against the great mountain of grace and mercy that God has shown me in my life. And I thought to myself, you ought to probably be a little ashamed of yourself, because it sure could be worse. Number two, here's the second thought I have. God knows and cares. God knows and cares. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The next statement is this, because his what? Compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. And I got to thinking about this. You know what? Shame on you. And by the way, Jeremiah, shame on both of us, because we were kind of down in the same dump there, where all of a sudden we begin to make accusations against God that's not fair. And God's picking on me, and God's chosen me as a target. I mean, I'm the target for his arrows. And boy, you know what? I got thinking to myself, good night. You know what Jeremiah remembered in the midst of his pity party? He remembered the compassions of God. Let me have you mark your place there and go over to Luke chapter 10. And we won't be long there, but I want to just show you a little story that I think gives a beautiful illustration of God's compassion to us. The compassions of God. Notice, by the way, would we all agree that that should be a plural there? Compassions. Because God has not been compassionate to us just once or twice or three times in our life. He's shown us many times compassions. In Luke chapter 10, if you'll go there in verse number 30, Luke chapter 10, and in verse number 30, we read the story of the Good Samaritan. In verse number 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And by the way, folks, a beautiful picture of compassion. Stay with the story here, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side, but a certain Samaritan, and as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. By the way, all of us were that shipwreck. All of us were that beaten and mutilated, sinful man laying in a ditch, and then there was a day that Jesus passed by. By the way, priests, I think, speaks about religion passing by. And you know what? Religion just looks at the sinful man and passes by the other side. And the Levite talks about the law. And you know what? Thank God for the law, but the law could not save us. Grace and mercy came through Christ Jesus. And then we have the Samaritan. Can we learn a little bit about compassion here? But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds. Wait a minute, wait, what are you doing? Why don't you stand there and think about this first? Why don't you begin to justify the reasons that maybe this man would just got what he deserved? You know, how foolish was he for traveling this road without some type of an escort by himself? I mean, where he's at's kind of his own doing. Where he's at's kind of his own fault. By the way, all of those things maybe were true. I don't know. But do you see that rationale? Do you see this man sitting there trying to figure? I think that's what was going through the priest's head. I think that's what was going through the Levite's head. All of the reasons why that man, maybe he just got what he deserved. But you know what? We don't see any of that thinking in this picture of Jesus Christ. You know what he did? He just looked down, and he didn't need the background story. He didn't know the circumstance, and he didn't know whether this man was a sinner or a saint. He didn't know whether or not this man was there because he deserved it or didn't. All he saw was a man that was beaten and half dead, and he was there, and he had the opportunity, and he had the ability to help. And you know what, folks? Let's not forget that that's how Jesus found us. And you know what? When he saved me, it's because he showed compassion on me. And when he saved you, it's because he showed compassion on you. But that's a singular sense. And can I say this? That after we're saved, there's many, many times that Jesus shows compassion on us. While everybody else is sitting around talking about why the person is where they're at, or what they should not have done to get there, aren't you glad there's still some Christians that just roll up their sleeve and get down in the ditch and say, you know what, I guess all of that really don't matter. They're here. And I guess they need some help. And by the way, isn't this whole thing about helping people? So he just got down there, and what did he do? Look at this. What did he do? I like this story. And he went to him and bound up his wounds. Pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, had to go, he took out 2 pence, gave it to the host, the keeper of the inn, saith unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. And by the way, what a beautiful picture of compassion. And folks, listen to me. God, that is the God that is watching you and caring about you in the life that you're living, in the things that you're facing. I want you to be reminded tonight, as I was, that you and I serve a very compassionate God. And I want to tell you something about his compassions according to the Bible. They fail not. They fail not. So the first thought, it could be worse. The second thought, God knows and cares. How about this thought? They are new every morning. God said this to me. This is the next thought. Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. And let me tell you what comes with a new day. With every new morning, with every new day, God's mercy and God's compassion are brand new for that day. Brand new for that day. I like what is said about Asher, by the way. I like what's said about Asher and the blessing that was given upon this tribe of Israel. In Deuteronomy 33:25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That's one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible to me. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Say, preacher, I could use a little bit of tomorrow's mercy and compassion today. Don't you reach forward and steal anything from tomorrow. God will give you today what you need, and he'll give you tomorrow what you need. You know, Sister Jessica is getting access to a level of comfort and peace and grace that she didn't need a few days ago. I remember a story, and this story I think opened up so many things in my mind as a young preacher training for the ministry. But there was a young lady on my bus route when I was just a Bible student, a college student. There was a young lady on my bus route that came on the bus very faithfully. And she lived right there on Kedzie Avenue. And the day before Saturday, when we were scheduled to go up and do our visitation for Sunday, this little girl had gotten out in the street. She was about 7 or 8 years old. I can close my eyes. I can still see her. Her name was Fanny. And I know, but that's what her name was. She'd gotten out into the street, ran out into the street. I don't remember the circumstances, but a car was traveling at a high rate of speed down Kedzie Avenue, and she came out between two cars, and the car tried to stop, and it didn't get stopped in time, and it hit her and threw her about 20, 30 feet in the air and landed her on the pavement. And when I got to the house on Saturday morning, I found out about this from the neighbors and found out what hospital she was in and rushed to the hospital. Before I had gone on visitation, there was a young man by the name of Carmelo that we'd reached for the Lord, and saved young man, and a good young man, was on fire for the Lord. And he'd always tell me, you come by and get me. I want to go visiting with you. And that particular Saturday morning, I remember, because I went to his house, it was the first time when I went to his house that he came visiting, that he opened the door and he had a dress shirt and a tie on. And I just remember that on that particular morning. And I said, whoa, what in the world? I said, what? And you know, made a big deal about it. And me and him went out, and we went knocking on doors. One of the first visits, we always started down on 26th Street in Kedzie, and that's where we visited. So it was almost one of the first two or three houses that we knocked on the door, and we found out about this tragedy. And I looked at Carmel and I said, I got to go to the hospital. You want to come? He said, yeah, I'll come with you. And he was young in the Lord and young in his faith. And here he's thrust into this situation, Brother Joe, that honestly would test and try a lot of veteran pastors. And here I'm a young preacher, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness sakes, I haven't faced a lot of these type of things. So we go to the hospital as quickly as we can get there and park and go in. And we go in, and I know the mother, and I know the sisters, and I know the dad, and I'm talking to them as best I can. And actually, Carmel is very helpful because he knows Spanish. The parents aren't real strong in their English, so he's translating for me, and we're finding out what's going on. And then we went into the room, and oh my goodness sakes, I mean, just honestly, they didn't know whether she's going to make it, not make it. She just, you'd never recognized her. You know, some of you have seen people like that. I mean, swollen, just, I didn't even know if this was the person. And And we got on either side of the bed, and I began to pray. And I heard Carmelo. He's on the other side of the bed, and he knelt down, but he's just battling emotions, and he's crying over there. And I'm holding on to this little girl's hand, and I'm begging God, God, please don't let this girl die. God, please. Lord, spare her life. Show some mercy here, please, you know. And I got up and prayed with the family, and then we started to walk out. We got out in the hallway, and this boy is just like, he's just overwhelmed at this. I mean, he's just overwhelmed at this point. And he says, he just looks at me. He finally just grabs my arm in the middle of the hallway. I'm on to the next thing, you know. And he just grabs my arm, and we got a bench there, and he just sits down. He puts his hands on his head, and I wasn't even aware of what this was doing to him. I was so focused on the family, I wasn't even really watching him. And I sat down, I said, what's the matter? And he's like, I don't get this. He said, that could have been my sister in there. He said, that could have been me in there. And he said, what are this family going to do? And I mean, he's just distraught. And he said, they can't do this. They can't handle this. And I said, listen, God's going to give them grace. He said, what does that even mean? And so I sat down just like on a bench like this. I sat right beside him, and I had prayer with him for a minute, and I said, Carmelo, I need you to listen to me. I said, this is a good time to learn about the grace of God. And I said, that family in there, the reason I went and prayed for them and Fanny in there, I said, they need God's mercy, God's grace. And you know what? You watch and see if God don't give them the mercy and grace that they need. And he looked at me and he said, preacher, but I couldn't do that. And I said, Carmelo, are you laying in that hospital bed? And he said, no. And I said, then you don't need the grace to lay there, do you? Is it your sister in there? And he said, no. And I said, then you don't need the grace to get through it, do you? He said, but she could die. And I said, Carmelo, are you dying? And he said, no. And I said, I guess you don't need dying grace yet. Son, let me explain something to you. You look at something like that and think, I could never do that. You can never do it because you haven't had to do it. But the day that, watch this, the day, he gave us strength day by day. The day that you have to will be the day God shows up with the grace. The day that you have to face that you thought you could never face, preacher, I couldn't do that. You couldn't do it because you've never had to do it. You didn't need to do it. But when you have to do it, guess what? Here comes the grace to do it. And so I got to thinking about that, and I thought, with all of these things I'm facing and all of the things coming up in the next couple weeks, and I don't see where I've got the strength and wisdom to deal with everything, all of a sudden God says, well, you don't, because that day's not here yet. Trust me. There's not a day that you're going to have to face that you're not going to be given what you need. And so I thought this, tomorrow's a new day, praise the Lord. Each day God will give you what you need. And then this fourth thought, God is great in his faithfulness. God is great in his faithfulness. Lamentations 3:23, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Now folks, you read with me chapter 3 in the first 20 verses. And you saw and felt the emotion of a man that's distraught. And yet, verse 21, this all comes to a screeching halt. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. So he goes from this pit of hopelessness to the mountaintop of hope just because he stops and recalls some things to his mind. And this is what he said. He said, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And you know what Jeremiah began to do then? He began to go back through his life and he began to think of the times when he needed God and God was there. And he was asked to face some things and God helped him face it. And you know what he came to the conclusion of after going back and looking at all of that? That you know what? God has a really good track record of being faithful. He just got a really good, matter of fact, it's a perfect track record of being faithful. How many of you would agree with me when I say, I have not always been faithful to God, but God's always been faithful to me. And so you know what, folks, now in the midst of a trial, not now in the midst of the storm, now in the midst of a valley, it's not the time to start doubting the faithfulness of God. You know what, folks, not only every day is his mercies new and every day his compassions are new, but every day he shows up. He's never one time asked me or you to live a day without him. Now, we've chosen on some days to live without him, but it's not because he wasn't available and it had nothing to do with his faithfulness. So tomorrow, when I get up, guess what? I'm not going to have to say, God, are you here today? And find out, no, sorry, he was sick. He had to call in. I've never had to face a day like that. God is faithful. The last thought is this, and we're done. As long as there is God, there is hope. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Preacher, how can we always find hope in a hopeless situation? Because as long as there is God, there is hope. Now look right up here, and I don't know everybody's life, and I don't know what you're facing. And I promise you this, when you go through difficult times, the devil really tries to take advantage of God's children during difficult times. He just does. Man, he's a bully. He's a bully. And you know, you're not supposed to kick a man when he's down. Let me tell you what, the devil likes to stomp a man when he's down. He does. And so you know what, he'll come to you and start lying to you about the hopelessness of a situation. And you'll begin to think thoughts like this. And I want you to understand, these are not thoughts that you're thinking. These are words that you're hearing because they're coming right from the devil. Well, preacher, there's just no hope. Preacher, there's just no hope. This is a hopeless situation. Preacher, there's no hope for my child. Preacher, there's no hope for my marriage. Preacher, there's no hope for my family. Preacher, there's no hope for America. I'm tired of hearing that. As long as there's God, there's hope. If you want to start waving the white flag of surrender, you go ahead. But I'm sorry, but I've served an awfully big God. And you know what? Great is his faithfulness. And you know what? I don't think I'm going to have to live another day of my life ever without him there. And as long as there's God, there's hope. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what health issue you may be facing. I don't know what sense of hopelessness may have come into your heart and your soul, but I'm telling you right now, listen to me. God sent this preacher tonight and interrupted all the series and everything going on to tell you this, that as long as there is a God, there is hope for you and hope for your situation, no matter what it is. And so over the next couple of days, especially those of you that are going through dark times, maybe you ought to just kind of take your little marker in your Bible like I've done and just kind of lay it here in Lamentations. In the most unlikely place, the place that I was mumbling and grumbling about having to read, the place that I was complaining to God about what a mistake he had made and I should be somewhere else in my Bible and you should read what I read. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, as we conclude the sermon and prepare to dismiss from this place, that you would help us to leave with a sense of hope. And Lord, that you would come to us with your presence, and Lord, help us. Maybe we are laying in the ditch because of our own devices, but thank you, Lord, that those things don't matter a whole lot to you. You'll come right down in the ditch no matter what the circumstances are, and if we'll accept the help, you're there to help us. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I want to say this. Thank you for your compassions. And thank you that all of these things are new every single morning of every single day. Thank you for being faithful. God, we need you right now. There's a number of people in this church that need you in a strong, Lord, and very intimate way in their life right now. So, Lord, please, as they seek you, come alongside them. Show yourself in a way that maybe they've never seen before. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that they would leave with a sense of hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name.